Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
This evening I'll be reading from Acts 8, 36 through 39. If those of you of the science fiction persuasion will be tolerant, I'll say this is a close encounter of the spiritual kind. Between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, as they, that is Philip, and the eunuch went down the road in conversation, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized from being baptized?" And then Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And he, the eunuch, answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so he, the eunuch, commanded that the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he, the eunuch, after his encounter from Philip, he went on his way rejoicing.
"See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone in the world would ask that question? Sadly, many do not, and there are a number of reasons for that, but maybe one of them is there is a lack of understanding about what is really a fundamental and yet imperative Bible subject. And that, of course, is the subject of baptism. Tonight, let's spend a few minutes talking about baptism. Very simply, very straightforwardly, three questions about baptism. Number one, what is it? Number two, why does it matter? And number three, who is it for? What is baptism? Well, you probably know that the word baptism is a transliteration. It's not a translation. A transliteration meaning that we've taken a Greek word and we've added English letters. Instead of translating the meaning, we've just given English letters to it. And so really, to define the word properly, it would be the word immerse. Or it can mean to dip, or it can mean to plunge, or it can mean to submerge. And you see, what that means is that baptism is a burial. It's a burial in water. It's not a sprinkling, it's not a pouring, but rather it is a burial. Now, the definition of the word bears that out, but so too does the scripture. Think about these passages just for a moment. In John chapter 3 and verse number 23, we're told about John's baptizing, and the text tells us that John was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, and here's the reason why: because there was much water there. Think about that for a moment. He was baptizing in this particular place because there was much water there. Well, why would that be significant? Well, of course, because much water is required in order to bury someone, immerse someone in water. Here are a couple of other passages for your consideration, and we'll look at these quite a bit tonight, so you may put a bookmark in them. One of them is Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Here is what Paul says about baptism in Colossians 2:12. He says that we are buried with him, that is with Jesus, with Christ. We are buried with him in baptism, in which also we are raised with him through faith in the operation of God. Paul, what happens in baptism? Well, first of all, you are buried with Jesus. It's a burial. Another passage would be Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Listen to what Paul says about baptism in that passage. He says, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." What is baptism? Well, Colossians 2:12 tells me it's a burial, and so does Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. And then we have the passage that was read for us a moment ago from Acts 8, verses 36 through 38. And I want you to think about this for a moment. By process of elimination, as we read about the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, if baptism was something that was done by means of sprinkling or pouring, then we wouldn't have any need for the eunuch to look out and say, "Look, here is much water. There's a great deal of water here." And there wouldn't be any need for both Philip and the eunuch to go down into the water. You see, baptism is not a sprinkling and it's not a pouring. It is an immersion. It did require a great deal of water, and it required both Philip and the eunuch to go down into it. What is baptism? It is a burial, meaning it is an immersion in water. Here's something else about baptism, though, as we're trying to define it, or as the Bible defines it. You might say it this way: it is a reenactment. And here's what I mean by that. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. As Paul talks about the fundamentals of the gospel, the things that he mentions there in that passage are the fact that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried in the tomb, and that he rose again on the third day. Well, go back to two of the passages that we looked at just a moment ago, the two that I mentioned that you ought to put a bookmark in, Colossians 2 and Romans 6. Let's start with Romans 6, verses 1 through 4, and listen to the discussion that this chapter begins with in these first four verses. There's a question, first of all, and the question is, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It picks up on the end of chapter 5, verse 20 and verse 21, the fact that the grace of God superabounded, overabounded in an overflow, if you will. So the question is, well, all right, if God's grace then superabounds, and shouldn't that mean that we ought to sin more so that we can have more grace? And the answer, of course, is absolutely not. Romans 6, verse 2. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein it? And the idea of that question in verse 2 is something like this. You of all people, talking to Christians, you of all people should know better than anyone else the answer to this question. And the answer is, no, we should have nothing to do with sin. And the reason why is because we've died to it. Well, how did we die to it? Well, that's verse 3 and following. We die to sin, verse 3 and following, by our baptism into Christ, by our conversion. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now think about it again. Jesus died, and he was buried, and he resurrected. What does Paul say happens in baptism in Romans 6, verses 1 through 4? Well, the question is, should a Christian continue to live in sin? And the answer is, no, certainly not. Let it not even be said. And the reason is because the old man of sin has died, and he also was buried. And he also, the old man has died, the old man was buried, and the new man, Paul says, has raised from the dead. He is resurrected, he is a new man, he walks in newness of life, verse number 4 and verse 5. So look at what Paul says then in Colossians 2 and verse 12. He says in verse number 11, he says, you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, next to verse number 11, you can write down forgiveness of sin, because that's basically what that's talking about. The spiritual circumcision, the circumcision made without hands that has to do with the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. There's a word picture here, and it's the idea of something like this. You go out, you go inside after a long, hot, hard day of work outdoors, and you're sweaty and you're dirty and your clothes are covered in dirt and nasty. And so you take those dirty clothes off and you put them aside and you put new clean clothes on. Now you don't go back into the hamper and take the dirty clothes and put them back on. You put the new clothes on. Well, that's the word picture. And the idea here is that the old man of sin, he has been taken off and he has been put aside. And so the new man has been put on. Well, how does that happen? Well, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you were raised with him through the faith of the operation or the working of God who raised him from the dead. So again, there's a sense in which baptism is a reenactment. We're united with Christ, Romans 6 and Colossians 2, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. So what is baptism? It is a burial in water, but it's also, in a sense, a reenactment. It is the time in which the old man of sin has died and the new man rises up from the grave to walk in newness of life. All right, question number two. Why does that matter? Why is it important? Well, it matters, number one, because it's commanded. Baptism is a command. It's not an option. It is an imperative. Think about this. It is a part of the Great Commission. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, that we are to go and make disciples of all nations. Part of that commission, part of that command is that we baptize. Mark's account of it in Mark 16, verse 16 says that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism is commanded. It's part of the Great Commission. A person cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven without it. Remember John chapter 3, verse 5. The ruler Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he said, what do I need to do in order to be a part of the kingdom of God? And Jesus says that a man must be born of the water and the Spirit or he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's talking about baptism. And so it's a command. Listen to Acts 2 verse 38. In verse 37, the question is asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the answer is given in Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sin. Why does baptism matter? Because it's a command, number one. Number two, because it's how our sins are washed away. I mentioned to you Acts 2 and verse 38 just a second ago. Think about it again. Peter and the 11, they stand up and they preach the gospel. And verse 37 tells us that the hearts of those who heard were pricked. The words that were preached, they pricked their hearts. And it prompted them to ask the question, what should we do? And that question really is, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to right the wrongs and to be right with God? And the answer is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And here's the reason why. For the forgiveness of your sins. Well, later on in Acts 22 and verse 16, as Paul recounts his conversion, here's what he says, that when Philip came and spoke to him and they began talking about everything that had happened on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, that Philip's statement to him was this, and what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Why is baptism so important? Why does it matter? It's commanded, but it's commanded because it's how our sins are washed away. That's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. That's what Paul was told when he became a Christian in Acts chapter 22. And again, back to our passage in Colossians chapter 2, we are buried with him. Verse number 11 speaks of this circumcision made without hands in which the body of the sins of the flesh is taken off. And Paul says that has to do with our baptism. But here's another thing to think about. Why does baptism matter? It's commanded. It's how our sins are washed away. But it also enables us to be added to the body of Christ. It enables us to be added to the body of the saved. Look at Colossians 2 and verse 12 again. I think this is a very important point. I want you to notice at the end of Colossians 2 and verse 12 that Paul says that when we are baptized, that we are raised with him, notice this, through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. I like the King James Version. That's actually the version that I grew up on. So a lot of my memory work is in the King James Version. And that particular version uses the word operation, through faith in the operation of God. Here's why that's important. Someone says, well, look, baptism is a work, and we're not saved by works. That's interesting. Paul does say that baptism is a work, but who's doing the work in baptism? Well, it's God who's doing it. Well, there's two things that come to my mind now as I think about that. Paul says that we are risen with him through faith in the operation of God, or faith in the working of God. So what does he mean that I can have faith in that working or operation? And what's the working? What's the operation? What is it that God is doing? Well, the idea of having faith in the working of God seems to me to mean that I can have some knowledge, some confidence, some understanding of what it is that God is doing in baptism. And then when I think about what it is that he's doing, I look at the New Testament, and there are two things that I find. One of them we just talked about, and that is that our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. But the other one now is this: God will add us to the church. He will add us to the body of the saved. Remember Acts chapter 2 and verse 47? Then those who gladly received and the Lord added to those who were being saved. The Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. I messed that up about 10 different ways, but you get the idea. The Lord was adding those who obeyed the gospel to the body of Jesus Christ. How about this? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, Acts 8 is an interesting chapter, by the way. Like, for example, when you talk about preaching the gospel, you'll notice that there are different ways that it's mentioned in that passage. Like, you'll notice that you'll see the phrase, they were preaching Christ. Then you'll see the phrase, they were preaching Jesus. That means the same thing. But right in the middle of it, in Acts 8:12, the Bible tells us that those in Samaria, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, that's interesting. Philip was preaching about Jesus, yes, but he was also preaching about the kingdom. Well, what does that mean? That means he preached to them about the church. That means he preached to them about the body of Christ, which is the body of the saved. And when they heard that message and when they believed it, then they responded to it. Then they were baptized. Well, write down Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, where Paul will remind us that we are added into Christ. We are in Christ by being baptized into Christ. Well, what does it mean to be in Christ? Well, one of the companion books of Galatians, of course, is Ephesians. And in Ephesians, in Christ is one of the key words or key phrases. And to be in Christ is to be in his body. That's to be in the church. Well, how then are we able to be in the body? Well, it's because we're added to it. We're baptized into it. God adds us to it. Galatians 3, 26, 27, Acts 2, and verse 47. Write down John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 again, with the idea of being born of the water and the Spirit. Born of the water and the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, water has to do, of course, with the water of baptism. Sometimes there's questions about what does it mean to be born of the Spirit? Well, I think it's good to let the Bible be its own best commentary, so I would encourage you to let Peter explain that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Listen to what he says. He says, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, notice this, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. John 3, verse 5 should be connected to 1 Peter 1, verse 23, because what Peter's telling us is that when Jesus says that we're born of the water and the Spirit, he's talking about the way that the Spirit works on human hearts through the Word of God in order to prick our hearts and in order to bring about conversion, to change our minds so that we might obey the gospel. So being born of the water and the Spirit has to do with conversion brought about by the preaching of the gospel and our obedience to it. Well, in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, Paul says that by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. He is not talking about Holy Spirit baptism in that passage. No, what he's talking about is the same thing that Jesus was talking about in John 3 and that Peter was talking about in 1 Peter chapter 1. And that is that the Spirit, through the Word that he has inspired, that he pricks our heart, that he changes our minds, and that it brings about conversion in our life. And when we obey the gospel, we are added to the body of Jesus Christ. Why is baptism important? Because it's a command. Because it's how our sins are washed away. Because it enables us to be added to the body of the saved. Because it's essential for salvation. The Bible couldn't be any more clear on this point. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. The like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us, Peter says, not the removing of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21. Baptism is important because we cannot be saved without it. Number 3, who's it for? What person or what people are able to be baptized? Well, number 1, baptism is for those who have committed sin. Baptism is for sinners. 1 John 3 and verse 4 tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. Note that. Sin is not inherited. Sin is committed. And so in Acts 2 and verse 37, do you remember the passage? The Bible says that when they heard the gospel preached, that their hearts were pricked and they cried out, "What should we do?" Well, what does that mean? That means that they recognized that they had committed sin. You see, those who should be baptized are those who we might describe as being accountable. Like those on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, they've been convicted of their sin. They recognize, "I have done wrong. I have violated the law of God." Well, that implies that they've got to be old enough to transgress. That implies that they need to be aware of the transgression. That implies that they have to be convicted, that they have to know that they're lost and have a desire to do something about it. Those are the ones who are able and ready to be baptized. But there's more. The Bible teaches us more. The Bible has, when we put all of the points together, a plan of salvation. Baptism is a part of it, but it's not the only part of it. It also involves hearing the Word of God. Remember Romans 10, verse 17? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And by the way, in Acts chapter 2, you can see that passage put to work. In Acts 2, verse 41, the Bible says that those who gladly received the Word of God were baptized, both men and women. That means that they heard it. They heard it with gladness and with a willingness to accept it. We've got to hear God's Word because the Word of God is designed to develop within us a saving faith, an obedient faith. We have to believe in the deity of Jesus. That was read for us from Acts chapter 8, verse 37. "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" That was the question the eunuch asked. And the answer was, "If you believe, then you may." And he said, "I do." And so he was. We've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Then we've got to be willing to repent. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. It's commanded, Acts 3 and verse 17. And I would suggest to you that maybe the best picture of repentance in your New Testaments is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. You remember in verse 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul begins to describe a number of sinful lifestyles. And he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Then he mentions them. He talks about adultery and fornication and homosexuality and drunkenness and covetousness and idolatry and a number of other sinful activities. And then he says, "But such were some of you." But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. When he says, such were some of you, that means you're not anymore. You used to be these things, but you're not anymore because you've changed. You've stopped doing it. Well, that's repentance. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of action. But the Bible also says that we need to confess. That's not a confession of sin. That comes later. When you're a Christian, 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and following tells me that when we commit sin, that we can pray to God and we can confess our sin to him and that he's faithful and just to forgive it. James tells us in James chapter 5 that we can confess our faults one to another and pray for one another that we may be healed. Confession comes later. The confession that we're talking about right now is not a confession of sin. It's a confession of faith in the deity of Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. So who is it that is able to be baptized? Well, it's someone who recognizes, first of all, that they need to be. Someone who's convicted of sin, recognizes that they're accountable for what they've done, and says, I'm lost and I need to be right with God. Someone who hears the word of God and believes that Jesus is the Christ, who's ready and willing to repent of their sins and confess their faith. When we're ready to do those things, then we're ready to be immersed in water, that our sins might be washed away, that God might add us to the church, the body of the saved, that we might be his children, that we might live a life faithful to his service. Baptism, it's so sad and tragic indeed that there are so many people who misunderstand what really is a fundamental and so clear subject in our Bibles. Well, tonight, it may be that you're thinking, you know what, I have not been baptized. I've not obeyed the gospel. I have not become a Christian, and I know that I need to be. There is no better time than right now. If you're a Christian and you say, you know what, my life's not what it needs to be, or maybe you're just discouraged. There's something going on in life and you're finding it difficult to deal with and you'd like for the church to pray for you and to help you. Well, whatever we can do, however we can help you to be the person that God would have you to be, come forward, let your need be known while we stand and while we sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.